I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. You've probably heard the old gag question, who's buried in Grant's tomb? But did you know that question originated on an old time radio show? The show was It Pays to Be Ignorant, a satire on other game shows like Professor IQ and Information Please. Most of the questions on It Pays to Be Ignorant had the answers built in, like the Grant's tomb question, and what animal wears horseshoes, and how much is a $5 bill worth? The gag was that the panel of contestants never came up with the right answers. Their discussions and arguments were crazy and often downright corny. Was the show funny or just stupid? Actually, most of the comedy came from clever puns, so if you're a fan of verbal gymnastics, you might enjoy this show. There were four people in the cast, Quizmaster Tom Howard and his three contestants, George Shelton, who had been Howard's vaudeville partner before they went into radio, and husband and wife team Harry McNaughton and Lulu McConnell. This episode of It Pays to Be Ignorant is called How to Keep Milk from Souring, and it was first broadcast on July 14, 1944.
How do you keep milk from souring?
Leave it in the cow.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What is a miser?
A man who eats mice.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant. The zaniest of quiz shows, rebroadcast for the American Armed Forces and their allies, and featuring Al Trace's orchestra, Lulu McConnell, Harry McNaughton, George Shelton, and the man who knows it pays to be ignorant, Tom Howard.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here it is, that menace to education again, with a board of experts who think books are used to put under broken legs of bureaus. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled How to Dive in an Empty Swimming Pool Without Losing Your Teeth. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
I have a poem, Mr. Howard. Hi, little dumpling, my son John went to bed with his britches on, one shoe off and one shoe on. Boy, was he plastered. You know that he put his umbrella in the bed and stood up in the sink all night?
All right.
Demoralizing.
I see. Next, yeah. We have a woman who from the back looks like a taxi cab with both doors open. A woman who was so fat she had the mumps for 2 weeks before she knew it. Here she is, the pin-up girl of the hobo camps, Miss Lulu McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, I met a very old friend of mine last week.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen her all for 10 years.
All right.
Mrs. Donaldson. You didn't know her, did you?
No, I didn't know her. No.
Well, a funny thing, I'd only been talking to her about a minute when she got very angry at me, and for nothing.
Well, what did you say to her?
I just asked her how her husband was standing the heat.
Well, that's nothing to get angry about.
Certainly not. How did I know her husband had been dead 5 years?
I thought that... We have our third and last expert, a man who, when he was in the third grade of school, his teacher used to send him home for not shaving. A man who was always changing his mind, but he never seems to get a better one. Here he is, confusion on legs, Mr. George Shelton.
Say, Mr. Howard, you'll never guess who I met on Broadway today.
I'll never guess because I'm not going to try.
Oh, but this will surprise you. Go ahead and guess.
I don't want to guess.
Oh, go ahead, just make one guess.
I tell you, I don't want to play any guessing games.
So you won't guess who it was, huh?
No.
See, I wish you would, because I don't know who it was.
Okay.
Oh, my word.
What is that? Well, there they are, folks. From now on, this program takes a turn for the worse.
All right, a quarry.
You got a head of, like, stone. No wonder you're in a quarry. Our first question tonight comes from a Miss Mary Ann Gutman of Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Oh, pardon me, Mr. Howard. Mary Ann isn't in North Carolina. Oh. You're thinking of Charlotte, her sister.
Her sister.
Certainly, that's right.
Yeah, lovely girl, Charlotte, but she puts too much rouge on her face.
Oh, a regular Charlotte Rouge.
Charlotte Rouge.
Charlotte Rouge.
Charlotte Rouge. Already?
Charlotte Rouge!
I don't get it.
I don't. Please, will you cut it out? You're starting early tonight, you guys. I haven't got to the first question yet.
What was the question?
All right, here it is. Pay attention. What office does a presidential candidate seek?
You mean he's looking for an office? How much rent does he want to pay? I got a friend of mine who's got an office. He'll rent him half of it.
Well, you know, it's awfully hard to get office space these days. I mean, things are so... Things are so crowded.
Yeah.
Now, you take the buses. The buses are so crowded, even the men are standing.
Even the men.
You said it. Why, I was in Washington the other day, and boy, is that town crowded.
Wonder why Washington is so crowded.
Well, it must be because there are so many people there.
You know, I think you're right, Mr. McNaughton.
Thank you.
It may be just a coincidence, but I've noticed that whenever a lot of people get on a subway train, it's always crowded.
Isn't that true?
Ain't it the truth?
Yeah.
I know when I get into a subway train, it's always crowded.
Yeah. Mr. Connell, if the train was empty when you got on, it would be crowded. Let's get on now with a question. Let's get back to it. What office does the presidential candidate seek? Do any of you know anything about politics?
Oh, politics. Oh, yes. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I think they're making our congressmen work much too hard, Mr. Howard. They need more rest.
What makes you think so?
Well, when a man has to make a speech lying down, I'd say he needs a rest.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Where do you get the idea that they make speeches lying down?
Oh, I read it in the paper, old boy. I read it myself. It said Congressman so-and-so made a brilliant speech from the floor of the House.
From the floor
of the House. I heard it. I read it.
Miss McNaughton, if your face had a more intelligent expression, I'd think you were kidding.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Mr. McNaughton is a college man.
Okay.
Why, he was the head of his fraternity.
I know, a frat head. I know that. Let's know him.
Oh, is that so? Is that so? I'll have you know someday I may be president.
Yeah.
Don't be silly.
Disgrace. Now he's got no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude. But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught. But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you too may grow up to be a fish.
And all the monkeys are in the zoo. Every day you meet quite a few. So you see, it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a
music, isn't it? Here's the next question. What is this? What are you laughing at?
Charlotte Rouge.
Oh, Charlotte. He just got it. Please, let's get on here with the program. Here's the next question. It was sent in by a Mr. William Fogelson of Brumson, New Jersey. Here is his question. Is General MacArthur a captain, lieutenant, or a major? In other words, what rank does he hold?
What is rank?
Well, there are two answers to that, Mr. McConnell.
Well, give me the one that ain't an insult.
I see. Well, let me tell you, rank designates a man's standing or class.
What rank were you in at school, Mr. Shelton?
Wait a minute, you don't use it that way.
Oh. I never went to school. I started right in college.
I see.
Why bother with the middleman?
Why bother with the middleman?
Hey, Miss McConnell, tell me, what did you take up at school?
Space, Mr. McConnell. The question is not about school, it's about General MacArthur. What rank does he hold?
You know, I think General MacArthur has a lot of class.
Yes. Well, what is his class? That's what we're trying to find out.
We're trying to find out his rank.
Well, didn't you say class and rank meant the same thing?
And not the way Miss McConnell was using the word. She was using the vernacular.
Yes, of course. She was using what?
The vernacular.
I was not. We haven't got one of those things in our house.
I see.
I have to sweep the floor with a broom.
You have to... Okay. Please, listen, you cylinder heads. The real definition of class is rank.
Well, would you say the orchestra here has a lot of class? Would that mean that they were good?
Using slang, yes. But in reality, it means rank.
Don't you see, Mr. Shelton? Here in the studio, the orchestra's good, but in the alley, they're rank.
Oh.
They're rank any place. Let's get on there. Let's get back to the question. What does General MacArthur hold? That is, what rank does he hold?
What are the different ranks in the Army, Mr. Howard?
Well, there's a general, a colonel, a major, a captain, first lieutenant, second lieutenant, sergeant, corporal, and private. Private is the lowest.
That's funny. A private told me there was nothing lower than a sergeant.
Nothing lower.
Don't change horses in the middle of a stream. Middle of a stream, middle of a stream. Don't change horses in the middle of a stream if you want to keep your britches dry. Don't change sweeties in the middle of a dream. Middle of a dream, middle of a dream. Don't change sweeties in the middle of a dream or you're going to be a sorry guy. My wise old Pappy Dunn told me, don't ever change your bet. You know what you got when you got it, but you don't know what you're gonna get.
Hey!
Don't change horses in the middle of a stream. Middle of a stream, middle of a stream. Don't change horses in the middle of a stream if you want to keep your britches dry.
Hey, gang, that's fun. Let's all join in and sing this tune. Everybody, here we go. All together now.
Bugs must have taken music lessons in a night school during a blackout of his. I don't know what this is going to wind up in. Flute player is trying to steal the limelight again. Their music mixed up someplace. knows McConnell's bridge work. They're sliding into them notes very easily. Told me last week that this orchestra would get worse, I wouldn't have believed them, huh?
What are you talking about? That's a swell orchestra.
Yeah.
And all those guys are nice to boot.
Yeah. Well, remind me to boot them sometime. Well, this is where we ask the studio audience to help us out. Ladies and gentlemen, we have invited two members of the audience up here on the stage. They can ask the experts a question. If they get any intelligent answer, we give them one day's turnover of the Federal Reserve Bank. They don't. We see that they don't leave us empty-handed. Who was our first guest, Mr. Roberts?
Our first guest tonight, Mr. Howard, is Private First Class Raymond Westfall of the United States Army. Yeah.
Good evening, Private Westfall. We're very happy to have you with us. How do you feel, Private?
A little bit nervous.
Oh, well, don't be nervous in the service, sir. Well, we're very glad to have you with us. Where is your hometown? Would you care to tell us?
Seattle, Washington.
Oh, way from Seattle, Washington.
Seattle, Washington. Well, wrinkle my head and call me the brow.
I call you the brow.
Oh, I used to work in that town.
No, why don't you stop?
No, no kidding. I was a sergeant in a dentist's office.
You were a sergeant in a dentist's office?
Yeah, I used to drill teeth.
You used to drill teeth.
I imagine that would get very boring.
Yeah, it would get... Pay no attention to them, Sergeant. They're in their second childhood, I might add. What are you doing in New York? On a furlough or something?
No, sir, I'm stationed here.
Oh, you're stationed here. How do you like New York?
Well, it's a nice big city, but I'd rather be back in Seattle.
Well, I suppose you would.
Hey, you know, Private, I was in the last war, you know. I was in the parachute division, yes. Well, do I remember my first jump. The captain said to me, when you jump, count 10 and then pull the string, you see? So I jumped, counted 10 and pulled the string.
What happened?
My pajamas fell off.
Please. Mr. McNaught, will you please cut out the horseplay?
Oh, very embarrassing, old boy. I mean, swinging up there in the air without pajamas.
Yeah.
Awfully drafty, you know, around the early dawn.
Around the early dawn. Come in, please. I hope they're not tiring you out here, Sergeant. What did you do before you went into service?
Worked in the post office.
Oh, in the post office. A man of letters, I see. Well, we're mighty glad.
I used to play post office.
I am. All right. We're mighty glad to have you with us, I'm sure.
What's your first name, honey?
Raymond.
What?
Ray.
Raymond.
Oh, is that cute?
Yeah.
You're a cute kid, too. You sure are. Well, I tell you, you can just call me Evening Star. I come out at night.
So does your teeth. Comes out at night. With your face, you should stay in. Will you reach into the dunce cap there, Sergeant, and pick a question for us? And would you be kind enough to read the question, please? Just read it right into the microphone, if you will.
After what day in the week is the Saturday evening post named?
After what day? That's a very good question. After what day in the week is the Saturday Evening Post named?
Oh, I say my word, you know, that's a very, very interesting question.
Yes, I'm glad you like it.
Oh, indeed, I like it very much. We must get together sometime and discuss it over a cup of tea.
Now, never mind, we'll discuss it right now. After what day in the week is the Saturday Evening Post named? It's a very simple question with a very simple answer.
Columbus Day.
Columbus. Why? Why Columbus Day?
Well, that's the simplest answer I can think of.
I see. Miss McConnell, I've seen better heads than yours on rusty nails. The question is not about Columbus Day. It's about a magazine.
Oh, you know, I used to write for magazines.
You did?
They never sent me any, though.
They never sent you any. The magazine I'm talking about, was founded by Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, who lost it?
Who? What?
The magazine Benjamin Franklin found.
I didn't say he found it.
You certainly did. I heard you. I got ears.
Well, give them back to the jackass. You'll get them all dead. I said found it.
Well, where did he found it?
I founded a magazine once, on the subway.
Look, I'm talking about the Saturday Evening Post.
I didn't find it near a post. It was on a seat.
I said Saturday.
Oh, no, it wasn't Saturday. It was on a Friday.
Yeah. A Friday.
I remember we had fish for dinner.
Fish for dinner.
Had broiled snapper.
All right. Too bad the bones didn't stick in your throat. Mr. McNaughton, if they ever award Stripe for stupidity, you're going to look like a zebra.
Oh, I saw a zebra up at the zoo yesterday.
Oh, you were at the zoo yesterday?
Yeah.
So was I.
You were? What cage were you in?
I was in the pool with the sea lion.
Yeah.
It was cooler there.
I imagine.
Oh, is that you? You had a raw fish in your mouth.
Yeah. Tasty, too.
Tasty, too.
What were you doing up at the zoo?
Well, I went up to take pictures of the animals. But instead, the animals took pictures of me.
Mr. Shelton, animals don't carry cameras.
Well, I saw a bear with a little brownie.
Little brownie.
Luella!
Where'd you get that fella?
There's a certain flirting gal in town, Luella Brown. She gets around. Why, every night she has a different guy. As she walks by, the girls all cry. Hey, Luella, where'd you get that fella?
Woo!
What a lucky girl you are, Luella. Cinderella would envy you, Luella, if she ever saw you with your fella. I know he weighs a ton. I know his feet are flat. But after all, in times like these, a girl gets used to that. Hey, Luella, where'd you get that fella? Tell me where you got him, Luella.
Roberts.
Our next guest, Mr. Howard, is Specialist X, third class, Scotty Hanna of the Wave.
Well, well, well. Good evening, Miss Hanna. I want to thank you for coming up here. It was real nice of you to come up here and face these bunch of nitwits. Where's your hometown, Miss Hanna? Would you care to tell us?
Los Angeles, California.
Los Angeles, California. Well, my, oh, my. That's quite a ways from home you are, Miss Hanna.
Miss Hannah's a wave, isn't she, Mr. Howard?
That's right, Mr. McNaughton. She's a wave.
Very nice wave, too.
Fine. Mr. McNaughton, you're out of order.
Am I?
Reminds me of my girl. I went to see her last night. We were sitting on the porch, not saying a word, and then she said to me, Georgie, I'll give you a kiss for your thoughts. And you know what happened?
No, what happened?
I wasn't thinking of a darn thing.
Extraordinary enough. I get caught that way very often.
All right. Don't let them annoy you, Miss Hanna. Are you just visiting here in New York?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Let me ask you something. Are you married?
No.
You're not married.
Honey, you just wait until the right man comes along.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah. How do you know he was the right man?
I told him.
You told him. Don't pay any attention to me. You look very cute there in your uniform.
She certainly does. How do you like my dress, honey? This is my favorite dress. You know, I practically live in this outfit.
Yeah? Looks like you're taking rumors, too. Will you reach into the dunce cap there, Miss Anne, and pick out a question for us? Pick out any question you get a hold of. And would you read the question, please?
What is the difference between an optimist and a pessimist?
What's the difference?
That's what I say. What's the difference?
Oh, wait a minute. I was just repeating the question. What is the difference between an optimist and a pessimist?
I got a brother who's a dentist. He's a pessimist.
He is?
Yeah, he always looks down in the mouth.
He are. Ah, please, let's answer this. What is the difference between an optimist and a pessimist?
Well, see, that reminds me, old chap. I have to see my optimist about my eyes.
You're talking about an oculist, an eye doctor.
Oh, no, Mr. Howard. Oh, no. An oculist is one of those things with a lot of legs.
No. That's octopus. A big clumsy-looking thing with a big, thick body.
Now we're...
Don't say it, Mr. Nichols.
Yeah?
Don't you call me an octopus.
Look, I'm trying to find out the difference between an optimist and a... Mr. Sheldon, did you ever go to school?
Once I did.
Well, I bet you were at the end of your class.
So what? You learned the same thing at both ends?
Oh, well, that's fine. Say, will you fellas please take an afternoon off someday next week and learn something new for a change? Well, this is about the place we have our crackpot question, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here is the crackpot question. It was sent in by a Mr. Amos Woods of Wheeling, West Virginia. You are to name this famous American actress. She was born in Philadelphia of a famous theatrical family. She has a brother named Lionel Barrymore. Her first name is Ethel. You have seen her name in bright lights on Broadway. She rose quickly to fame. What's her name?
Broadway Rose.
Broadway. That is wrong, I might tell you, Mr. Sheldon.
Well, you did tell me.
All right. Every week has been wrong, you crackpot.
All right, I can't help it. I'm worried, that's all.
You're worried? What are you worried about?
Worried about a lot of things. I went home the other night to take a bath.
Yeah?
And I found a horse in the bathtub.
Wait a minute. A horse?
What did you do?
A horse in your bathtub?
Yeah,
Let me ask them, Mr. McNaughton, will you?
With pleasure.
What did you do, Mr. Sheldon? I'm anxious to know.
Well, when I saw the horse in the bathtub...
You pulled the plug out. Oh, cut it out. Let's go. That is wrong. Send Mr. Woods $8.40.
That's a joke.
All right. You can have it. Because it pays to be ignorant.
It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me.
Well, there you are, folks. It's time to say goodnight for Harry McNaughton, Lulu McConnell, George Sheldon, Al Trace, and his band.
When I was just a school kid, I wasn't awfully bright. I had a pretty teacher who made me stay in each night, so you see it pays.
This is Tom Howard saying good night and good nonsense.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
From July 14, 1944, How to Keep Milk from Souring, an episode of It Pays to Be Ignorant. If there are old-time radio shows you remember and would like to hear again, drop me a line at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info, I-N-F-O. Thanks for listening. In the Old Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.